tonight, turn with me in God's Word to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I preach a very simple message tonight. Probably everyone in the sanctuary will understand everything I say tonight. You probably have no hard time understanding anything I say anyway. I like to try to put the jelly on the bottom shelf so the children can reach it. Amen. Something D.L. Moody said. And he said, it won't do no good on the top shelf. Children can't get to it. But if you put it on the bottom shelf, it'll be used. So I try to keep the jelly on the bottom shelf, try to keep it very simple. I figure if I can understand it, then anybody else can understand it. But let's look here, if you would, Mark chapter 11, and we'll read the very first 11 verses together. I ask you to read along with them, if you will. I ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, to Bethpage of Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon every man said, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found a colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And a certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do ye loose the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I want you to notice what it says here, the very last part. Well, let's look at verse 7 altogether. The Bible says, they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat upon him. I believe, and I'm not mistaken, they call this Sunday Palm Sunday. And it's representing how Christ went into Jerusalem, how they worshiped the Lord. They said, Hosanna, blessed is the name of the Lord. They was worshiping God, worshiping our Savior. And my friend, they took palm leaves and cut palm leaves and put them in the path. And they took their own clothes and put them in the path so Jesus Christ could ride the colt into Jerusalem to be crucified for our sins. And I appreciate all the story here we have here. This colt could represent a sinner that's tied to the hitching post of sin that needs to be loosed by someone who knows who Jesus Christ is, and on Christ's command, you go to loose the colt, and he's free. The Bible says there was a colt that a never man sat on. He wasn't a colt that was tamed. He was a colt that was wild. He was a colt, my friend, that probably went his own way, but the Lord has need of him. Thank God, everyone you see, my friend, God has need of that person. My friend, don't matter who they are, we can say that the Lord needs them. Thank God for this great picture we have here. But I want to draw your attention to verse 7. I'm going to try to preach on something that I believe every one of us need in our lives. I'm going to just preach about five things on how to get this one truth accomplished. It says here in verse 7, they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Here, my friend, I want you to get the story. These disciples come, and they went to the hitching post where the colt was tied, and they freed the colt from the post, and they started taking the colt to Jesus, and someone stopped them and said, what are you doing? They said, well, the Lord's commanded us to get this colt and to bring it to him because he has need of him. So they said, okay. So they brought the colt to Jesus. They put their garments upon the colt. And then the Bible says that Jesus sat upon him. I'm going to try to preach for just a few minutes how to get God on you. I believe that's something all of us need in our Christian lives. Every one of us needs another touch from heaven. Every one of us needs God in our Christian lives. This is a life you can't live by yourself. It's a life you can't can't manage by yourself. This Christian life is not a life you can manage by your strength and by your power and by your mind, but we have to depend upon God. So tonight, my friend, for just a few minutes, give me your undivided attention and let me preach to you on how to get God on you. As a preacher, I need God on my ministry. I need God in my preaching. I need God in my prayer life. I need God in my witnessing. The boy, the young man that come and got saved Tuesday night on visitation. Everybody was doing everything on Tuesday night visitation. I called Brother Jim, and he had an excuse. Somebody, his grandchild was coming to be with them, and they didn't want to miss out on that. I understand that. That was great. But I come to church at 6:30 on Tuesday night, and no one else showed up. Well, no one else come. I waited till about 6:45. I waited till about 7 o'clock, and I rung something in my mind that Brother Van White said. He said, well, nobody else won't go. Jesus will be with you. So I went, my friend. I got me and Jesus in my truck, took off down the road, went to Richard's house, and talked to him for a few minutes, and that old boy got saved by the grace of God. He bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. I want to tell you, was it that same night, or it was Wednesday night? Wednesday night, his Mama Mary called me, and she said, preacher, I want you to come and talk to my son Richard. He's having an awful time. And I was over there late that night, my friend. I was over there probably right close to midnight trying to talk to him, trying to comfort him, trying to just to be his friend. I want to tell you something. I need God in my life. I need God in my ministry. I need God in my prayers. I need God in my family. The only way me and my family are going to stay together, it's not my preaching. It's not my loving. It's not my money. But it's only God who can keep our marriage together. It's only God who can keep our families together. If just church is going to keep on going forward for God and keep on experiencing high times in God's life, hey, we need God in our lives. We need God in our churches. I'm going to just try to tell you about five things on how to get God on you. And all these young people needs this message tonight. Rennie and Hunter and Justin, y'all listen. Y'all listen on the front row here. Hey, Cindy and Faith, y'all listen. Lizzie, you listen tonight. This is something every one of us need. How to get God on us tonight. Boy, they bring this colt to Jesus, and Jesus just climbed on, and this colt had God on him. How can we get God on us tonight? I want to tell you, the first thing you need to do is be in your place. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 2. And said unto them, go your way and to the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man said, loose him and bring him. This colt was exactly where the colt should have been for God to use him. I'm going to tell you, my friend, if God is ever going to use you, if God is ever going to get on you, if God is ever going to empower you to do his work, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hey, the Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Hey, the Bible says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. If you're ever going to know God and his power, you've got to stay in your place where God puts you. You got to stay here. You got to be faithful to God. Be faithful where God places you. Here Jesus Christ told his two disciples. He said, you go down this road, you enter to a certain village, and as soon as you get into a gate, you'll find this colt tied. Hey, the colt was in exactly the same place that God told his disciples it would be. I'm going to tell you how to get God on you. Hey, just stay where you should be at. Hey, just stay in your place. Hey, just stay where God leads you, my friend. We've had a lot of people from this church to move away, to leave out. Some of them moved away for more money. Some of them moved away for a new career. Some of them moved away to another church. They believe it was God's will for them to be in that church. My friend, you better make dead sure it's what God wants for your life. My friend, you can be out of God's will by going to a different church. You can be out of God's will for taking another job. You can be out of God's will, my friend, by doing something in your life. Here the Bible says this colt was in the place it was supposed to be in. And not only that, but the colt was doing the job it was supposed to do. Hey, my friend, notice what the Bible says here in verse 2. The Bible says, go your way into a village over against you, and ye shall, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon a never man said. Hey, this colt was in the place it was supposed to be in. It was tied to the post. The only job he had was just to hang around. Hey, we need some people just to hang around. We need some people to do the job that God's called them to do. Hey, we need some people, my friend, to give your place to God. Give your job to God. Do the job God's called you to do, and give your life to the Lord. His coat here was in the place he was supposed to be in. He was in the place he was supposed to be in. My friend, he was doing what he was supposed to do. I'm going to give you this tonight, my friend. I hope and encourage you tonight. God's giving you something to do that no one else can do for you. Did you hear that? God's giving something to you to do that no one else can do for you. God's given all of us a reason, all of us a purpose, all of us a responsibility here at Open Door, and no one can fill that purpose, no one can fill that responsibility but you. Here, Jesus Christ come and got this one colt. I wonder how many more colts was around. I wonder how many more things was around that Jesus Christ could have used to ride into Bethlehem, ride into Jerusalem with, but he had to use this colt, my friend. I want to tell you, young people, how you need to be where God wants you to be at. We've got some young boys and girls that's growing up, and my friend, they're going to move off and go to college. I hope they go to a Christian college. I believe every young child should go to a Christian college for the first 2 years just to get their heads on straight, just to see God's will, God's design for their life. But we're going to have these young people grow up. They're going to choose who they're going to marry. They're going to choose where to go to church. And my friend, we're going to tell them, and we're going to pray with them, and we're going to ask them to make the right choices for God and be where God wants you to be at. Every one of us need to be in a place God wants us to be. How to get God on you? Just stay faithful to God and be where God wants you. I can remember almost 9 years ago when I first got saved. I remember coming to preach a letter about like Michael did. I remember coming to preach a letter and say, "Preacher, do you mind if I cut the grass?" He said, "Well, if you insist, I'll let you cut the grass." I said, "Preacher, can I do this? Can I do that?" And I remember just being wide open for God. And I remember, my friend, I was happy cutting the grass. I was happy just slinging the weed eater. I was happy just picking up the trash out in the churchyard. I'm not bragging on me tonight. I'm bragging on Jesus. Hey, if you'll be faithful, if you'll stay in your place, there's no telling what God can do with your life, and no telling what God can do to your family, and no telling what God can do with you, my friend, if you'll just stay in the place that God puts you in. How to get God on you? Just stay in your place. Do the job that God calls you to do. Give your life to Him. I'm going to tell you the second thing. How to get God on you? Be in your place. Be available. I believe every one of us needs to be available. Look what it says here in verse 2. "Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon every man said, loose him and bring him." But I like them two words, loose him, bring him. My friend, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to get God on you, you cannot be cluttered down with the world. You cannot have your tent stakes too deep into the world. How to get God on you? Do you want God on you, my friend? If you want God to be in your life and God's power to be evident in your Christian life, you have to, my friend, be in your place, and you have to be available here in this cold. He done no good being tied to the post. He done no good being tied to the post. Jesus Christ told his disciples to go to the colt, to unloose the colt, and bring him to Jesus. I'm going to tell us tonight, if we're going to have God's power, if you're going to get God on you, you have to be available for God to use. You have to be available. These young boys and girls, they're making decisions. Us mommies and daddies, we're making decisions. We're making decisions that's going to affect the rest of our life. We better make sure we keep God in it. We better make sure we keep God in it. I'm going to tell you, my friend, you could choose another job and get more money and get less God. I'd rather have more God and less money. Hey, we can get our children involved in everything in the world and they won't have time for the Lord. Hey, you can get your child involved in every extracurricular activity, everything that the school has for them to get involved in, and you're going to lose out on God's time. You can, my friend, you can take them to piano practice. You can take them to band practice. You can take them to flute practice. You can take them and let them be a gymnastic. You can take them to dance. You can take them to baseball. You can take them to basketball and football and tennis and soccer and all those things and all those wonderful, my friend. Hey, but don't leave God out of the picture. Hey, don't leave God out of the program. Hey, my friend, you can go camping on the weekend. It's good to get away. It's good to take a vacation. I once heard this, my friend, I've used it for my own life. If you don't get away, you'll go away. Every one of us needs a vacation. Every one of us needs to get away for a little bit. I'm going to tell you what every one of us need to do. Every one of us needs to get away and go down to the First Baptist Church down Main Street, Marion, and see what's going on there. You come back here, you'll be glad what you got at Open Door. I tell you what, you go to another church, you go to a Methodist, a Presbyterian, another church to see what's going on there, you'll be glad you got what you got here at Open Door. But you know what every one of us need? Every one of us needs a vacation. I'm all for it. How about you? But won't he leave God out? Don't need to leave God out. Don't need to plan you. I'm all for it. Sister Smitty's on a family reunion tonight. I'm happy for her. She don't have a vehicle. She don't have a way. I'm glad she get to go. I'm glad, my friend. Hey, me and my wife, we're going to try to plan a vacation. We're going to get away for a little bit. You come Sunday morning, we're not here, you know we're gone. We're not here, you know we're gone. But, my friend, we need to keep God in it. We need to keep God in it. I'm not pointing fingers at no one but myself. We need to keep God in it. If you want God's power, you want God's blessing, you want God on your life, hey, my friend, you need to be in your place and you need to be available for God to use. Hey, we get our tent stakes too deep in this world and God can't move us and God can't budge us and God can't do what God wants to do because we're just too tied up. We're in such a big old rat race that we don't have time for God. We can't read our Bibles and pray because we're doing everything else in the world. My wife was teaching her Sunday school class on a chapter out of Isaiah. They're learning a whole chapter for Isaiah. Lord willing, they're going to try to quote it for us next Sunday. Had some of them say, well, Miss Tabitha, I can't do the Bible verse. I don't have enough time to do the Bible verse. Let me ask you, hey, we don't have enough time to read the Bibles. We don't have enough time to pray. We don't have enough time to knock on doors. Hey, we sure got enough time to watch TV. You sure got enough time to watch Bonanza, Little House on the Prairie, I Love Lucy. Hey, have gun wheel travel. We can sure watch all them shows, but we don't have enough time for God. I'm saying, my friend, if you want God on you, you're going to have to make a decision, and the decision is yours to make. It's not mine to make for you. It's not yours to make for me, but I choose to have God in my life. I want God's power. I want God's blessings. And I realize, my friend, some things has got to go. Some things cannot take the place of God because I need God's power. I need God's blessing. I need to be available. How to get God on? You want God on you? You want God on you? You want God on you? You want God in your life? You want God in your marriage? You want God in your church? You want God evidence, my friend? Would you like to see souls come down every service and get saved? I sure would. Hey, would you like to knock on doors and keep seeing visitors come? I sure do. Hey, would you like for the bus to be filled up every Sunday? I sure would. We was talking this morning, and Mr. Larry, who's lost, who's on his way to hell, he said, preacher, if the bus keeps getting filled up, you're going to have to get another bus. But I'll be glad to get another bus. I'm glad to run another bus. I want God on our church and God in our lives and God put our ministry. But I realize we have to be available. Man, I tell you, I love to do a whole lot more hunting than I do. I love to do a whole lot more fishing than I do. I love to do a whole lot more reclining than I do. Wednesday night, God gave me a great truth. Nothing new. It was new to me. I shared it with the church. Got home, kicked my wingtips off, pulled my necktie off. I unbuttoned my shirt. I still had an undershirt on now, nothing showing. But I unbuttoned my shirt. I got in a recliner. I believe it was about 11:30. We got a phone call. Miss Mary said, I'm so sorry to call you this late, but my son needs someone to talk to. You know what I told her? I said, I believe that's what God has me here for. I'll be there in a few minutes. Got up, got in my truck, went to the projects. I don't worry about locking my truck. Ain't nothing they're going to take. They're going to take the AM, FM radio. I don't believe so. They're going to take them tires. I don't believe they're going to take their tires. You know, I just jump out of the truck, go in, talk with them, pray with them, help them out, doing what I could. I have to be available, folks. We want God on our children. We're going to have to keep them available. Not only that, but my friend, you're going to have to bear your cross. Look here in verse 7, the same chapter. The Bible says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. It's something, my friend, Jesus Christ got onto the colt. You know what was on the colt? If you go out there and look at a what do you call that? The Bible calls another word for a colt and an ass. It's a donkey. I reckon you call it out there. You know what's on the back of a donkey? If you look at him, there's a cross. If you look at its manes, if you get on the back of a donkey and you look down its back, there's a brown streak of hair going down this way, and then a brown streak of hair going across its shoulders. It represents a cross. Hey, my friend, Jesus Christ, when he got on that donkey, he was looking at the cross that he was going to, not the physical cross, but as he sat on the donkey, he looked down on the cross and he had you in his heart. He had you on his mind as he was riding that donkey into Jerusalem. He knew he was going to die for your sins, so you can be set free to go to heaven. Hey, my friend, Jesus Christ was looking at the cross, but hey, I want to tell you, the donkey was carrying the cross. You know what we need to do? We need to bear our cross. We need to do what God's called us to do. We need to be the Christians that God saved us to be. Hey, we just need to bear our cross. Hey, Jesus Christ said, if you don't hate your mother and hate your father and hate your wives and hate your husbands and hate your brothers and sisters and sons and daughters for my name's sake, you're not worthy to be my disciple. You know what we need to do? We just need to bear our cross. Hey, we just need to tote our cross. Hey, we need to be the Christians that God had saved us to be, my friend. Hey, the donkey was carrying the cross that he had on him. Hey, every one of us has got a job to do. Every one of us got a position to fill. Every one of us has got something God wants him to do. And the only way to get God on you is do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants you to do. I tell you, I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. I try to be the greatest pastor. I try to be the greatest preacher I can be. But I'll be slap miserable if I went to another church and just sat in a pew and couldn't preach. I'll be slap miserable because God called me to preach. God's called me to help people. God's put a desire in my heart to be a pastor. And we've seen all this new stuff that God's doing. I'm glad for all of it. Boy, you got to take a little step of faith there once in a while and launch out into the deep. And God blesses and God's prospering and God's doing things I would never thought God would do. We need to be available. We also need to bear our cross. There's something every one of us in here has got from God that we need to give back to God. You say, what is that, preacher? Your life. God's given every one of us a life. And the greatest thing we can do with this life is give it back to God. You know what we tell our young people? You know what Brandon wants to do? Brandon, you're listening good tonight, ain't you, son? Brandon wants to grow up and join the Army. Brandon wants to grow up and join the Army and go to college. And then maybe preach in the Army. He's not real sure about that, but maybe. You know what he said the other day? He said, Daddy, you think I should go to the Army and be a preacher? I said, son, I think you should just do whatever God wants you to do. Our daughter's going to grow up. What do we want? Well, we got high expectations for them. We want them to do a lot of great things. But the only thing we can imagine that we want them to do is just do what God wants for their lives. We want them to be the person that God wants them to be. Not some puppet on the string. Not some kind of puppet you dangle and make them dance when you want them to dance, my friend. Hey, God's given every one of us a free will. God's given every one of us soul liberty. God's given every one of us the ability to go to Him and search His will for our lives. Hey, my friend, we need to be available and we need to bear the cross that God's given every one of us. You want God on you, my friend. Hey, you want God on you. You need to bear your cross. And let me give this right here. You need to be willing to carry the message or the colt. Colt was there. Christ climbed on. The colt was carrying Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. If you want God on you, I believe you have to carry the message of who Jesus Christ is. My friend, Jesus Christ is not going to just bless you by sitting there watching soap operas on TV. Hey, Jesus Christ ain't going to just bless you, my friend. Hey, He's not going to just bless you by not caring about souls and not wondering if people's lost on the way to a devil's hell. I believe God's going to bless those who's going to carry the message of Jesus Christ. His colt was there. He allowed Christ to climb on. A colt who never had a man to sit on before. Hey, but thank God when Christ gets a man that's wild and untamable, and when Christ meets a man that cannot be tamed by anybody else, that Christ can do a perfect work. Christ can do a perfect job, and Christ can tame that person. Christ can tame that wild animal and make him a carrier of the message of Jesus Christ. You're looking at a man that's not bragging on the devil, but his hands used to hold something other than the King James Bible. Hey, these lips used to say other words than glory to God, hallelujah. Hey, these feet used to go to other places than the church house. These hands used to have a steering wheel to go to other places than people's houses to pick them up and to bring them to church. But hey, thank God when God meets you and God saves you, that God can change you and make you a carrier of the message. His donkey carried the message. His donkey carried Jesus Christ. I promise you this. I told Brother Robert, I'm not bragging on me or bragging on you. I don't believe God's blessing our church because of the way I preach. I don't believe God's blessing our church on the way I pray. I don't believe God's blessing our church on how much we give. You know the reason I believe God's been blessing our church is because of this. I'm from Open Door Baptist Church. I ought to give you a gospel tract, invite you to church. And by the way, let me ask you a question. Do you know you're saved? Do you know if you die tonight, you'll go to heaven? If I could take the Bible and show you how to go to heaven, would you do that? And if you go to Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, 10, and verse 13. And then you take them to John 3:16 for security. You take them to John 5:24 for security. I believe the only reason God's blessing our church is because we've got a group of people who goes out and knock on doors and pass out gospel tracts and cares for other people's souls. I've not been preaching anything different. I've not been praying anything different. We've not given one more dime extra, probably. I believe the only reason God's blessing our church is because we care for souls. We're trying to get people in our church house. We're trying to get people saved and on their way to heaven. Amen. You know what we had the last week? We had a soul winning revival. It was the closest to revival we've had in a long time. You say the souls get saved? Not that week, but God's people got stirred. God's people got stirred. What is revival? Having a great multitude of people coming saved? That's not what revival is. Revival is getting God's people stirred and rekindled and set on fire again for the Lord. I believe that soul-winning revival was the closest thing we saw to a Holy Ghost-sent revival than we had in a long time, my friend. If you want to get God on you, you have to be available. You have to bear your cross. You have to be willing to carry the message. This old donkey carried the message of who Jesus Christ is. Let me tell you this last thing. Do we want to keep God on us? I do. You want to keep God on your life, in your marriage? I do. Not only do you have to be in your place, be available, bear your cross, be willing to carry the message, but I believe this last thing is the most important thing. Be humble. Be humble. Look here, if you would, verse 9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I want you to get this now, these people sat Jesus Christ on top of the donkey, on top of the colt. They took their clothes off and palm leaves and threw them in the path to allow Christ to go into Jerusalem, my friend. And every one of them, their eyes was on Jesus Christ. None of them said, hey, look at this beautiful donkey. He's carrying our Savior. Every one of them had their eyes on Jesus Christ and said, Hosanna, blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hey, if you want to get God on you, don't worry about being in the spotlight. Don't worry about your 15 seconds of fame. Hey, make sure you're pointing people to Jesus. Make sure everything we do is decent and in order and is pointing others to Jesus Christ. You know what we have to do? We have to be humble. Be humble. They praised Jesus Christ. They never mentioned one thing about the donkey. They always said, hey, Hosanna, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. But I want to tell you this one thing. Hey, we've got the story in our Bible. Hey, God made sure it was taking time to write his story down that this colt, my friend, carried Christ into Jerusalem. I want to tell you something, my friend. If you'll just stay humble and keep your eyes on the Lord, God's got a perfect record. And every time you do something for the Lord, God's going to write it down. God's going to pin it down. God's going to record it, my friend. You might not get fame and fortune here in this world. Hey, but God's writing it down. And when you get to heaven, I want to hear those, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. Hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. How many of us likes our steaks well done? Some of us do. You know when it's well done? Me and Brother Jim don't. I like it when you cut it. A little bit of stuff come out in the middle. You know what I mean? That's how I like it. But well done. Well done. How do you get something well done? You keep it in the oven until it's finished. You know what God says? God's going to say, well done. God's going to say, you're finished. God's going to say, you're cooked to perfection. Well done. thou good and faithful servant. We're going to have to stay in God's holy oven long enough to get well done. We're going to have to stay there long enough to get cooked. Get cooked, get seasoned, get ready to be consumed by the Master. My friend, you want God on you? Stay in your place. Stay in your place. Stay where God wants you to stay at. Every day, just be available. Say, God, here I am. Use me. Bear your cross. God's given every one of us a job to do, and no one can do it except you. Do the job God's giving you to do. Not only that, my friend, we need to be willing to carry the message every day. We should be passing out gospel tracts every day. Hey, I want to tell you this. You know we're getting low in gospel tracts. Another few months, we're going to have to order some more. We had 10,000 gospel tracts at the beginning of the year. We probably don't even have about 3,000 gospel tracts left. Where in the world are they gotten to? I don't know. But they're out. They're given out. They're gone. Hey, someone's got them. Hey, someone's got them. Homes has got them. Individuals has got them. The hospital sure does have them. If we run out, I'm going to go to the hospital and get some of them back. The hospital's got them. Rest homes got them. Grocery stores got them. You go to Walmart and try on a suit jacket. You reach into the pocket of the suit jacket. You'll find a gospel tract. Hey, you go to Walmart and try on a pair of Levi's. You try on a pair. What size I wear? 36? Probably not. Hey, you try on a pair of Levi's and reach in the back pocket. You'll find a gospel tract. Wouldn't it be something? Somebody go to Walmart, buy a pair of Levi's, go home and try them on, reach in the back pocket, and there's a gospel tract. Boy, that just had to come from the Lord right there. Boy, they'd be so scared they'd come. The Bible says Abraham was moved with fear. I believe they could be moved with fear, come to church, get saved. Hey, my friend, we need to be available. We need to bear our cross. We need to carry the message. And we need to be humble. It's not about me. Beloved, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not what I want. It's not what you want. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about the Lord. And if you want God on you, you have to realize this life we live is not our own, but it's the Lord's. And every day of our life, we should be pointing people to Jesus and saying, He's the Master. He's my Savior. He's the one I'm living for. I believe if you'll do these five things, I believe you'll get God on you. And I believe you'll keep God on you. Bear your cross. Don't be ashamed. Bear your cross. Be available. Be in your place. Be a carrier of the message. And be humble. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day, for the precious word of God, how it could change lives. Not my preaching, not our singing, but the word of God, as the Holy Spirit takes, it can change people's lives. I pray, God, we keep God on us. By looking unto Him every day, the author and finisher of our faith, by being humble, by bearing our cross, by bearing a burden. Lord, I pray, God, you continue to bless this church, and may this church always point people to Jesus and tell them that He's the only way to be saved, the only way to be happy, is to have Christ as their Savior. Lord, help us to keep God in our marriage. Lord, help us every day to look unto Thee for how we should live our lives and conduct our lives and how we should stand and the convictions we should have. Lord, help us to keep God on us. I sure hate to live another day without your hand upon me. I hate to live another, preach another service without God's blessing upon me, upon the message, upon the church here. Father, I pray, God, we keep you as a center, as our fixed point of reference. We keep our eyes upon Jesus. Lord, help us during this invitation time to be doers of the word of God, not hearers only. God, help us all to desire to have God upon our lives, in our lives. Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Let's stand to our feet tonight if we can. The invitation begins. The altar is open. You want God in your life? I'm not talking about for salvation. I'm talking about for His power, for His blessings, for His joy. Why don't we do these things tomorrow? Why don't when we wake up, we go ahead and pray and ask God to keep us in a place? Keep us in the place. He might want you to go to a convenience store tomorrow to get gas. You might not need gas, but you might just have a desire to go to get gas. There might be a person there that needs to be a witness to. You can take your gospel track and give to them. Hey, just be in the place that God wants you to be in. Be available. Be willing to carry the message of Jesus Christ. And realize it's not about us, it's about Him. It's all about Him. On this particular day, the colt didn't receive any fame. But it's recorded down in the Bible for us what this colt done. He carried the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, people might not brag on you and boast on you here in this world. But you wait till you get to glory. You'll be glad you done what you done. You'll be glad you done what you done for Jesus then. Beloved, it'd be worth it then. Yeah, it'd be worth it then.